there is a really cool way for you to rapidly improve upon your selling skills. And this week on the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 50,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our one-on-one coaching program. Going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast. You could certainly go there now and have a quick look if you happen to be impatient like I am. Please feel free to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/coachpaul. So today we're going to be talking about a really cool method, a system, if you will, to rapidly improve your selling skills. Now, I just feel a need to do a few things here. I mean, you might be someone who's been selling a while, and right about now, your ego might be kicking in saying, I've been at this a while. I really don't need to improve upon my skills. This sounds like a podcast that Castain, you know, is going to be talking to all the newbies out there, not a veteran, or as some of the older folks out by me say, a veteran like me, you know, would need. I'm not going to need these stinking skills or whatever. I'm here to tell you, man, I'm talking to you too. I'm really talking to everyone, because my big emphasis in this podcast is that we all have to be humble students of sales. Now, just to give you an idea what I'm talking about, everyone being a humble student of sales, I've been selling now. I mean, you could make an argument, and a valid one, that I've been selling my whole life. I mean, seriously, folks, I actually, a lot of people don't know this about me, by the way, not that it's some interesting tidbit of information. My first selling gig, if you will, was when I was 7 years old. I'm not making this up, you know, like creating some kind of tall tale here. I actually made necklaces and sold them to a lot of the hippies in the area. A few years later, I was selling bubble gum in middle school and kicking ass, by the way. And a few years after that, I was teaching guitar when I was a senior in high school, right through the first few years of when I was married. I can go on and on. I've been selling forever, but formally, I've been selling for 38 years. I can tell you that I've read over 1,100 publications on selling and psychology and self-improvement, goal setting and time management, and we can go on and on and on. And still, in the whole vast universe of knowledge that is out there, I feel like that I've acquired really a speck of knowledge. That's where I feel I'm at. So this podcast is for all of us today, all of us who really believe in the concept of being a humble student. So we're going to get into a really cool methodology. And sometimes when you hear a title of something that goes something like the title I use today, right? How to rapidly improve upon your selling skills. There is a sense of disbelief, or it might be clickbait or something like that. I don't play those games. This is a legitimate strategy that you can feel free to look up on your own. But the concept that we're going to be using today, it all falls under the heading of a little something something. I heard Tim Ferriss talking about this a while ago, called hyper-learning. Hyper-learning, and all it is, it's basically learning. But when we put the word hyper in front of any word, by the way, the definition becomes over and above what is typical. Over and above what is typical. So what we're going to be talking about today is learning in a way, pardon me, that is over and above what is typical, with the goal, the end goal here, is to rapidly improve upon your selling skills. So first, a little New York sarcasm. And I'm dead serious. Maybe we should call it a little bit of tough love. But I'm going to tell you the good news is that really any learning as a salesperson that you do, any learning in a way could be considered over and above what is typical. Because what I found, and this is interesting, and I dropped the ball on something here. When I worked for Dale Carnegie, a few years back, right, when I had hair on my bald head now, right, it wasn't bald back then, one of the things that we used to bring about in our sales pitch was the fact that the average person stops learning right about the time that they finish their formal education. Now, I mean, if we're being totally honest here, yes, we're constantly learning different things because the world is moving quickly. I mean, you know, there are basic survival things that we've had to adapt over the years. And when I say basic survival things, I don't mean just like food and water and things like that. I mean, just like, I mean, I'm sure like if you've been using your smartphone over the years, right? I mean, we need that to survive, right? You know, you're constantly learning new things on that phone. You get a different phone or it's a different, you know, when they upgrade the damn, you know, iOS or whatever. I mean, we're constantly learning in that sense. But for the most part, the real, like, as they would say, the real meat and potatoes of the learning that we've done is done by the time, you know, we're finished with college. Now, depending on how much fun you had in college and how long you decided to go for, you're talking about the average person that goes into sales. I'm not talking about, I mean, I'm pretty sure my audience, you know, isn't comprised of medical doctors here. But depending on how much fun you had in college, I'm thinking, you know, your formal learning, if you're like everyone else, came to a grinding halt when you were either 22 or 24. Now, when you look at the average amount of time or the average career length, now that human beings are living longer, by the way, you know, I mean, when I was growing up, everybody was shooting to retire around 65. Also, too, at the same time as human beings living longer, cost of living, man, has gotten insane. So, you know, a lot of people aren't really looking forward to going on that fixed income. So, you know, the average career now, I think it's safe to say, is going to run about a good 50 years, I would say. I mean, seriously, I mean, I don't think we're going to have much disagreement on that. But damn close enough to that, right? And maybe you're going to argue 40 to 45 years. Close enough, kids, right? So my whole argument is that if we all buy into this theory that the average person stops the majority of their learning by the time they finish their formal education, I just think that that's a hell of a long time for us to be rusting, because that's what we're doing. We're rusting. But today, we're really not talking about rusting. We're talking about rapidly improving upon your selling skills by utilizing this concept of hyperlearning, which by definition is going to be learning above, over and above what is typical. And, you know, what I'm defining as typical is the fact that most learning is pretty much done by the time we're done with our formal education. So that now we all have the working definitions in place so that we can all learn from the same perspective. How the hell do you do this concept of hyperlearning? Well, not so fast. I just want to tell you what really attracted me to it. And by the way, I've been, you know, a practitioner of hyperlearning, both for my own progress and for my coaching clients now, for pretty much the entire time that I've owned Castain training systems, and you know, I hung out my quote-unquote shingle back in 2011. So we're talking about, at this point, about 10 and a half, going on 11 years. I've had a chance to utilize this. The only difference is I really didn't know that's what the hell it was called. I was just kind of doing it anyway. But when I really started learning about the definition of this and all, was I heard Tim Ferriss talking a lot about these concepts, and a lot, you know, some interesting things about Tim Ferriss that I don't know if you guys are aware of. In fact, he was, he's written a lot of great publications, has a great podcast, a blog that just has an incredible following, and email newsletter that he sends out. He was the author of the 4-Hour Workweek, right? That was one of the things that he did and one of his claims to fame. And he had a series of books, kind of the 4-Hour, I think 4-Hour Chef or something like that or whatever. But anyway, he many times would learn something rapidly by immersing himself into the act of learning it. So what he was able to do throughout his life was, for example, teach himself archery very, very quickly. He was able to acquire a very good knowledge of martial arts by immersing himself into martial arts and really cutting through a lot of the fluff and just getting into the key moves and the key, you know, the key blocks and you know, the katas and things like that. And you'll find that that's the same with a lot of other things. There's a lot of fluff, and if we can kind of cut through that and just get into, you know, the basics of the blocking and the tackling, so to speak, and just focus on that, well, we can accelerate things. So again, our working definition here, now that we've kind of talked a tiny bit about Tim Ferriss and some other things that we covered here, our working definition today of hyperlearning is going to be learning that is above, over and above what is typical, and through the act of immersing ourselves in the act of acquiring that new skill. So how the hell do you do that, right? I mean, now that we're sitting here being all philosophical and shit, how the hell do you do it? Well, I have no answers for you. I just wanted to sound smart for about 12 minutes, and I guess you got to tune in next week, right? Well, you guys know I don't roll that way. So the first step, I believe, is kind of awareness, right? And when I was preparing for this podcast today, I was going to send you to a free resource that I have. I've been preaching it now for about 5 or 6 years. I guess I could still send you there, and I want to, but it comes with a little bit of a caveat, which I'll share with you in a moment. But if you want a free resource to kind of raise your awareness of the skills you need to improve upon, feel free to go to yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. What I've done is I've taken the liberty of listing the top 75, 80 qualities of a sales rock star. And I've put it into kind of a checklist for you, as you know, if you will. And I give you the ability to rate yourself on each one of these qualities on a scale from 1 to 10. And what I always say to people, you got to take it out. When you're looking in the mirror, you can't look in that mirror that shaves 15 pounds off of you, man. You gotta look in that mirror that, if you're like me, man, and you're in front of that full-length mirror, you go, holy shit, Dad, what the hell are you doing here? You're like, that mirror, like, wow, I had no idea. Like, you got to take an honest look, because you're just cheating yourself if you don't. So what I want you to do is you could either go and kind of take a look in the mirror, but the thing of it is, if you do that exercise right, first of all, it only takes about 5 minutes, but if you do it right, you're going to come up with several things that you flag. But all I want you to do for now, you can even avoid the whole exercise that I gave you, because remember we said, kind of cutting through the fluff. If you want to cut through the fluff and just kind of accelerate this whole thing, just think right now, and if you wanna put this on pause, man, I'm not gonna get pissed if you wanna put me on pause. I mean, I'm not gonna sit. I can't believe, like, the balls on this effing guy. He put Uncle Paul on pause, man. The hell, dude, you kill him. I don't care. I'm not gonna know. But maybe flag one area that you gotta get better at. I don't know, man. Maybe it's negotiation because we're in the fourth quarter. Maybe, you know, about, you know, we're 2 months away from the new year, a little less than 2 months at this point. Heck, it's November 14th that I'm recording this. Maybe as we head into the new year, maybe it's getting better at prospecting, right? Whatever it is, but you flag that one thing. It could be time management, whatever it is. Flag that one thing. If you really need something to kind of jog your memory a bit, then do that exercise by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. But in the meantime, your first step is that awareness. But now, here comes the hyperlearning part. You're going to immerse yourself into learning that skill. Well, how the hell do you do it? Here are some suggestions. I mean, and feel free to say duh here, but you could start off by Googling that skill with the, like, you know, with the word tips, T-I-P-S. I didn't say the bad word. You know, I said tips with a P. Bunch of dirty-minded people listening to this. But so, for example, I want to get better at negotiation, so I will Google negotiation tips. Again, T-I-P-S. In case you guys think, ooh, he said it. I did not say it. So you could do that. You can obviously go and look up podcasts, but you can use that keyword, right? Negotiation or time management or cold calling, whatever. I would go over to YouTube and try to find some videos on it. Now, before we go any further, one of the things, and I've been in the game of training sales, you know, rock stars since the late 1990s. I mean, yeah, you could argue that I did it earlier, which I did, but I mean, like, when I really was like, all right, I'm digging this whole sales training thing, and I'm writing training manuals for companies and consulting and everything. I've been doing that part of it since the 90s, and I've also gotten really into the whole art and science, if you will, of, you know, kind of how people are wired and how to train them and how to assess their progress and all kinds of cool stuff like that. And one of the things that I found, and by the way, this is backed up with other studies out there, is that I feel that learning is more easily accomplished when it comes at the learner from different angles. So what do I mean by that? Well, when I'm Googling things, I mean, you know, I might find things that are more static. In other words, you know, like a blog post or something like that. So now I'm reading about that skill. Podcasts, I'm going to get more of an audible version of that, right? And speaking of which, you could also go on Audible and you can, you know, look for an audiobook or whatever. So again, I'm reading, I'm listening, but I'm also going on YouTube and I'm stimulating that visual part of the brain. I just find that things are cemented in better when we utilize as many of the senses as possible, all right? And, you know, I know you might tell me, yeah, but I prefer YouTube, or I prefer, you know, something that's more of a, you know, an audio experience like these podcasts or whatever. Yeah, but you can favor that. But I think when you're learning a new skill, you're going to move along your progress more rapidly. And that's the point here, to kind of accelerate it. This is an accelerated learning type of methodology that we're diving into today. You really want to utilize as many of the senses as possible. Okay? So now there's more. So far we have Googling. We have podcasts. We have YouTube. Also, modeling someone who rocks that skill. So what do I mean by that? I want you to think about, it could be your sales team, It could be someone that you used to work with. It could be a family member. It could be a friend that is really good at that skill. So for example, years ago, right? And a lot of you who know me are going to laugh at this, but you want to know one of the things I had to get better at years ago? I mean, years and years ago, like 30 years ago, I had to get much better at being assertive. I believe it or not, I used to be actually quite shy. And, you know, I just, I don't know, for lack of a better phrase, I didn't find my balls. I think that's the technical term. I did not find my balls. They did not properly drop at that point. And meanwhile, I was in my 20s. So I identified some areas that I had to get better in because, you know, and it's still my goal today, it was to kind of conquer the world, right, in my space. And I knew I wasn't going to get better at things and certainly conquer the world if I kept my mouth shut. And also, too, I kind of felt that I died the proverbial thousand deaths. Every time I'd leave a scenario, I'm like, man, I feel like that guy effed with me. And I really, it wasn't just my ego talking, like I really felt that, you know, me not speaking up is damaging the relationship because now this dynamic is going to be one where they're not seeing me as a peer. Again, not talking from an egotistical point. I'm talking about like a let's get shit done perspective. And if you're not seeing me as an equal, man, and I'm letting you walk on me, at least that's how I felt back then. I had to get better. So I right away thought, well, who do I know that's really good at this? And the very first person I thought of was my father-in-law, lieutenant back then, on the police force. And that man never had a problem expressing himself, and he gave me some really good advice. You see, that can be a big part of your learning, picking their brain and kind of almost like talking to them. Hey, you know, I'm trying to get better at this. You know, what kind of advice could you offer? But you could also model them. And if you're in a position to maybe ride along with them on a sales call, or being that a lot of us now are working virtually, it's even easier now. You know, they could have you join in on the call kind of as a silent participant so that maybe, you know, you can kind of listen in and learn a little bit. And that's what we mean by modeling, kind of looking at and deconstructing what it is about them that makes them so good at that. And then making note of it. One other example I just want to give you. Do you know I used modeling to go from, I think I was like 60th worldwide as a sales rep in this one position. And I was able to, you know, go from 60th into the top 20, by the way. I landed at in the top 12 out of 375 sales reps worldwide, international company, and actually stopped there because I was promoted to run the state of New Jersey for the company and had about 150 people reporting to me. That's pretty damn good. And I did it my first year on the job. So that's pretty cool. But I used modeling because I was very fortunate. In my office, I had a gentleman who was number one in the company. I don't know if it was like 1 or 2 years in a row. No, he was number one in the company a few years ago, prior to when we met. And they promoted him to run New York. But I also had the number two rep was my sales manager. So the first thing I asked is that if I could go along and kind of shadow the guy who was number two. And I just modeled a lot of his behavior. And I learned some incredible things other sales reps weren't doing. And that I still use and teach, by the way, in my programs to this day. And I also did the same thing. The guy who ran the office was all about salesmen. He loved salespeople because that, you know, those were his peeps, so to speak. And I asked him, would it be possible if kind of we could have a little bit of, you know, leadership by example, and if I could watch him run, you know, 1 to 2 appointments just to kind of get his style. And I also asked that he personally train me on some things, and I was granted all of those things. So, you know, you might want to consider the same thing. But, of course, you can go onto Amazon and see if there's some kind of a publication or something that you want to get there, whatever. You could also look up webinars on that subject. Now, right about now, I just want to talk about something very quickly. It's going to sound like I'm getting shitty, but, you know, and I kind of am a little bit, but I don't feel that other sales trainers are going to have the balls to say to you what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to offend some of you, and that's okay. Hopefully we could make up, or, you know, if not, then, you know, I'm probably not going to be the guy you want to listen to, because this is a little tough love, and it's going to be a little shitty what I'm going to say, but some of you guys are way too effing cheap for your own good. Yeah, that was pretty bad what I just said there. I'm going to say it again, and then in the words of the immortal Ricky Ricardo, I'm going to do a little bit of explaining. Some of you guys and gals out there are way too cheap for your own good. I mean, here we are. And by the way, it isn't just you guys. It's the sales profession. Do you know that when we look at professional professions, I'm not talking about drug dealers and prostitutes into the mix here, but when we look at legitimate professions, we're like in the top three of the highest paying professions in the world. You guys realize that. And the only thing that leads us is really sports and entertainment. So we're really in the top three. And, you know, hey, if I'm off, then, you know, we're in the top five. But we make a lot of money in this industry, man. If we're on our game, we pull in the money. And yet, of all those, you know, of those, the ones that kind of are above us, right, like entertainment and you know, sports and all, we tend to train the least. But here we are, we're making the money, and I can't tell you how many times it is at least 2 to 3 times a month somebody sends me an email, or I hear it from somebody else out there, and they want advice because they're pissed at their boss. You ready for this? And they're referring to their boss as being cheap because their boss won't reimburse them for a $15 book on Amazon. Now, you might be sitting here saying, yeah, that is a cheap boss. I say, no, that's a cheap sales rep. If you are not willing to invest $15 in yourself, I'm here to tell you, you really should hang your head. And I want you to feel shitty about that. Seriously, there is just no sugarcoating it. That is something that is broken that you have to fix. I also think that thanks to the quote-unquote interwebs, there's a lot of quote-unquote free shit out there. And you know what? I love free shit too, but I want to tell you something. And I'm not just saying this because I sell training for a living. Right? I have always felt this way. In fact, I'm going to use myself as an example of this so you don't think I'm just trying to beat up you guys like I have you as a captive audience here and I tricked you into a browbeating because I'm pissed off at something else. No, sometimes we got to have tough conversations. I want to tell you that there are things over the years that I have gotten for free, right? Things with my personal development that I was given for free. For example, and I remember years ago, there was this thing that Seth Godin was talking about, and I was really passionate about it. And he even offered this free PDF, like this whole like report that he did. And it was 100-something pages. Now, reading something 100 pages to me is nothing, man. I read stuff constantly. There's some weeks, not so much anymore because I've slowed it down a little bit because I want to savor my learning a little bit more. But there's times in the past when I was really knee-deep in the whole hyper part of the learning that we've been talking about, where I was going like 2 and 3 books a week. So for me to consume 100 pages for something, that's like, you know, I'll do that before breakfast. Like, all right, you know, when's the real reading going to come? So I am really into reading and learning and all that. And this thing was free. I never touched it. And, you know, when you find these things out a lot of times about all the PDFs and free things that you've never consumed but you've had, a lot of the time it's when you're changing computers and you see shit that has just been kind of blending in on your homepage, or you know, blending in that miscellaneous file or whatever. But here's the funny thing that I want to say. I've been mentioning how, you know, I never really touch a lot of the free things, but I can tell you that all the things that I've like had some skin in the game with, like, you know, training that I've paid for myself. Hey, I got to remain sharp, right? If I'm going to, you know, have a long career as a sales trainer, I can't, you know, teach you on the shit that I learned back in 1984. Yeah, you know, here's some tactics you guys can use with the fax machine. Yeah, let's see how that works out for me, right? This is constantly changing, right? So I got to learn all the time. So I'm constantly investing in things like that. But all the things where I had skin in the game, I took seriously. And I will tell you that people tend to take things more seriously where they have a financial investment involved. And like I said before, this isn't something, I want to be very clear, that I'm saying in order to learn, you got to run out and drop 10 grand. Hey, you could if you want. You got the money. Go out and get a bunch of great shit. Invest in the best coaches, all that stuff. But I'm saying, like, you can't go and download a Kindle book for what, 12, 15? I mean, I don't know, man. Shit the whole lot for 25 bucks. And if you're going to sit there and get shitty about that, or your boss not reimburse, it's 25 bucks, then I think you have a bigger problem. And you got to work on that, right? You got to work on that mindset. And it, quite frankly, it's getting in the way of your progress. So I'm going to step down off my soapbox, and hopefully we can all be friends after that little browbeating. But seriously, man, you know, like, don't be a cheap. You know what? I really almost said the F curse again. If we were hanging out here in my yard having a bourbon and a cigar, I'd curse at you. I swear to God, I would. I'm just telling you, I would. And you could curse back at me. I could take it. But anyway, so the other thing that you could do, I mean, obviously, right? Part of the hyperlearning, and I'm not just saying that you do any one of these things that I'm suggesting in the hyperlearning tasks. I want you to do a lot of things because that'll keep it interesting for you, and it will keep you at it long, and you know, longer than just like one day when you're feeling good about this podcast. You're going to go out there and jump into hyperlearning, and then, you know, the next day, okay, I'm done. I'm bored, right? That's kind of how we are in sales with the ADD thing that we got going on. But you go to your boss and say, hey, I'd love for you to listen in on my call or my demo or whatever it is, and maybe get some feedback or whatever, right? So that's something that you can do. I mentioned this before, but I want to say it again. Calling a successful rep in your organization. A lot of you use guys listening to this. A lot of you, you know, you guys listening to this, you're on a sales team that you have at least a couple, you know, a few other people. Right? You know, if you, you know, work in the same office and you guys are open for business, you're able to go there and not work remotely, you know, go, again, invest. Take them out to lunch. Go meet them at Starbucks or whatever. Or, you know, pick up the phone. Have a Zoom meeting. Whatever the hell it is. But pick their brain. You could also go to your local chamber of commerce and see if they have any kind of little programs that might address some of the areas you want to improve upon. Your trade associations too. And I want to give you a great example of some trade, or at least one trade association. For those of you in the printing industry, you know, I hope you know this by now, but an organization called PSDA, they host a lot of things that can help train us in the sales area, you know, with print sales. And I know this firsthand because I've been a teacher and an instructor at some of their events. So that's something that you could do. So check into that again. But also, too, that another thing you could do is you could go and have a conversation with your boss and say, hey, look, this crazy bald fat dude, Castain, was saying, you know, that, you know, there is a way for me to get better at negotiation, time management, whatever skill that you pick, and say, you know what I'd really like to do? Is 1 month from now, I'd like to address our sales team in that sales meeting 30 days from now, right? Or, you know, when I, whatever date, but I'd say 30 days. And I'd like to come into the sales meeting and have 15 minutes to train them on the skill that I'm trying to improve upon. So why the hell would you do that if you're trying to get better at it? And that right there is part of the hyperlearning in a way. One of the best ways for you to learn is to actually teach, because you have to be above the skill level of other people when you're doing it, right? Or at least, right, you know, you should, you know what the hell you're talking about. But if you take 30 days, that's going to force you to really own the material. See, a lot of times we consume shit, but we don't necessarily own it and retain it. But if you know, oh man, in 30 days, I got to get up and teach everybody on this, man, that's a whole different thing. That's a game changer right there. So you could do that. The other thing, I kind of want to stop there, right? So very quickly, I'm going to review that. But then I want to talk about something very important, actually a trap that you guys could fall into that will screw up this whole hyper-learning thing. So there is a real serious caveat here that we got to be aware of, all right? So just kind of hold on a second. Let me just review what we talked about. We said the first step is awareness. And you could either just flag something on your own, all right, this is a skill I want to work on, or if you need a little help, you can go to yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist. What I think you should do from there, and I didn't mention this before, is just take one thing at a time and start with 1 month of focus. And if you're focusing every single day on that skill, and when you do the last thing that I'm going to tell you to do, you're going to improve upon it, but you want to immerse yourself in this. You want to be reading things about it. You want to be listening to things about it. You want to be on webinars. You want to be talking to people who, like, again, obsessed, like this obsession with getting better at that area that you flag for improvement, but every single day. And don't just do it like, okay, I put my 5 minutes in. No, man, F that. I'm talking about, man, you're going deep here. You're going to get involved in it. You got to get up earlier to get better at this skill. So be it, man. Remember, the whole definition here is over and above what's typical. The average person might read an article on something. They might listen to this podcast, and guess what? They're done. You're going to just be beginning after this damn podcast today, and you're going to keep it going. But what I like to do, and this is a great tip for you sales managers out there. When I coach sales managers, and I coach a lot of them, by the way, one of the things that I tell them as far as learning, you should have themed learning month to month. Themed learning month to month. We can do this as individuals too, by the way. But from a sales leadership perspective, what you could do is you could take that little checklist of mine, yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist, and kind of look at your team and say, all right, my team on a scale from 1 to 10 with negotiation skills, they're like a 3, they suck. You know, time management, they're really good. They're like an 8 or whatever. You can kind of like evaluate your whole team that way. And then what you do is every month, take the areas where they're weakest and say, okay, everybody, you know, our focus for the month of November is going to be demo skills. All right, and then, you know, at the end of the month, you kind of make a decision. Do I want to kind of continue into the next month that way? There's nothing wrong with having an extra month. And there are no rules to this, by the way. You guys, there's no right or wrong. You do you, baby. So, but I like the idea of theme learning. Now, as an individual, you do the same thing. You know, we're not going to get all these things solved overnight. But if you allow yourself, and I just really believe in one at a time, folks. Don't go flagging 12 different things and then every day you got to learn something about. There's no way you can immerse yourself in 12 different areas of improvement every single day for a month or 2 months. You can't do it, man. You're going to be a professional student and you're going to be, I'm telling you, you're going to be full-on alcoholic by the end of the month. So that's a no good. So what I want you to be aware of is a little something called the learning trap. The learning trap. And let me explain this whole concept of the learning trap. I believe that there are 3 components to accelerating your learning, right? And this is at the core of the sales methodology that I've created for sales reps and that I've trained 50,000 sales reps on. It's really three things. The very first component is your mindset. And again, I'm not going to go through all these in great detail. Your mindset, and it could be, you know, in this perspective, you know, in this context, it could be how you feel about learning. Or remember before, I mean, again, not to beat a dead horse here, folks, when I was saying kind of like, you know, and it's a lot of times your beliefs and your behaviors. Well, before, I was beating everybody up about, man, like, we're a little too cheap in this profession. You know, be willing to invest in yourself. Right? That is part of mindset. The second area is information. And if you notice today, what I was really talking a lot about, really almost 100% of the podcast, is how do we acquire that knowledge, right? That information. But here's where the problem comes in. And I see this happens with a lot of goals too, by the way. Every January, by like the third week in January, we see this a lot, is we fool ourselves. We say, you know what? My mindset is there, baby, man. I am ready to kick ass. Best year, this is going to be the best year ever. 2022, baby, man, we're going to kick ass. It's going to be the best year. All this hype, right? So the mindset is there. Or right now you might be listening. I'm a positive thinker. I believe in this. Castaigne's got me ready to pull effing bumpers off of cars, right? So you got the mindset. Now you start doing some of these things I talked about, right? And I gave you a lot of different things that you could do. Start doing all that. And now you're getting information. But here's the trap. We call it the information trap or the learning trap. What happens a lot of the time is that most of us, we have a great attitude, right? We got a great mindset. We got our head in the game. We're acquiring the necessary information. Hell, if you're listening to this podcast, that tells me that you believe in learning and you know, mostly a lot of us are guilty of consuming this stuff like we consume Netflix. But it's lacking the third component in the methodology. And that's action, folks. You have to take action. A very interesting story that I learned early in my career has to do with Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins, I believe, and if I'm mixing up the exact speaker, who gives a shit, right? The story is more the important component here. I think he was working for like Jim Rohn or somebody like that. And there was an organization and Jim Rohn had these other speakers there, some speaking organization. And he wanted to be a speaker, but he didn't have the chops yet, right? Like, you know, he barely had done any speaking, but he wanted to be like them when he grew up, baby. And I've said baby a lot this episode. I don't know why. I really don't. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know. I really don't. We may never know here, but I'm drug and alcohol free, so I can't blame it on that. Maybe I got hit in the head with something last night in my sleep. But anyway, he wanted to kick ass like them. And he noticed that their average speaker did about 6 events a year, like big, you know, big monstrosity events, I think it was. So what he did was he said, all right, all of these speakers, they kick ass. And they kick ass because they're doing 6 events a year. So he asked kind of himself a different question. That's kind of a cool thing, by the way. Asking yourself a different question, right? And what he did was, he asked himself, how can I gain that level of expertise in a fraction of the time? By the way, that's all part of hyperlearning, because we're going above and beyond here. We want to accelerate this whole thing, right? We want to push the fast forward button. So what he did was, he said, all right, I need to gain that experience. So screw this 6 events a year speaking at, you know, type of thing. I want to do that in a month. And then he was like, yeah, I want to do that every 2 to 3 weeks. And he did it. And then he was doing it every week. And then while these guys had 6 events a year, this guy was doing like 200, man. So he was developing those chops. But you got to be careful. Got to be careful, folks, because there's another little trap that I want you to be aware of. In fact, it's an old saying. It goes something like, practice makes perfect. Yeah, I don't know that I buy it. I used to, but I stopped buying that. You know why? Because is it possible that you could just get better at being shitty at something? And I mean that. That sounds kind of like a little bit of a contradiction there. But is it possible that you could just get better at maybe, you know, at not being as good as you can? I'll give you a couple examples. When I was first learning how to play the guitar, I had a guitar teacher for a short period of time. You know, for whatever reason, we stopped working together. For a while, I was self-taught. Then went to another teacher who never really paid attention to my form and, you know, how I was holding my hand and my movement and all. And then basically, I went to, you know, the guy that I, you know, I always refer to as a guitar god, Steve, who really, he taught me really how to kick ass on the guitar. He, you know, he explained to me, at this point, I was playing like 5 years or something. He said, Paul, we have to unlearn some things. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, the way you're holding your hand is slowing you down. And back then, by the way, everybody was playing fast. It was a lot of, you know, like, especially with metal, a lot of, like, speed runs and scales and things. And he goes, you know, you're kind of tripping over your own hand. And it's getting in the way. Logically, you can't play as fast. And my picking was off. I wasn't using alternate picking and sweep picking and some of the other things that I needed to. So he had to help me unlearn those habits. But here's my point. For 5 years, I was practicing a lot, folks. I mean, hell, there were days back then, you know, before I started going to Steve, that I was practicing 4, 5, 6 hours a day, every single day without fail. I mean, I was a lunatic about practicing. And I just proceeded to kind of get better at doing it the wrong way. So you have to be careful of that, too. In fact, there's a saying that I think is better then practice makes perfect. You guys probably think I'm going to go and say the cute phrase that trainers love to say. They say, no, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Yeah, I roll my eyes when they say that shit, and they're right, but it's just like, okay, yeah. Yeah, I've only heard it 5,000 times, right? I like what Coach Rick Pitino has to say, and I'm paraphrasing here. Actually, perfect practice makes perfect. A little bit of a tongue twister there, Coach Pitino. Perfect practice makes perfect. And that's where, and I'm going to kind of transition into a little bit of a sales pitch at the end. I mean, your free part of this has concluded. So, and just in case you want to get the hell out of here and you don't like what I'm about to say, but this is like reason number 10,000 why you might want to have a sales coach. Part of what a good sales coach is going to do with you is, you know, kind of sit in on your demos and, you know, listen in on your calls, things like that, so that they can see you in action. And they're not going to correct you in that moment. So, oh, excuse me, my sales coach wants to reprimand me in front of you. I'm sorry, you know, Miss Prospect. No, it doesn't happen that way. But, you know, this is a big part of coaching, that we want to correct the behaviors, like that guitar teacher did with me. Hey, you know, your form here, you know, could be a little better. Let me show you an alternative, right? Let me help you out a little bit here. And you know, that would be my suggestion for you. And you know, last but not least, I had mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that this episode is brought to you by our one-on-one coaching program. Now, one of the things that I want to say is that there are a million sales coaches out there. There's a few things that I do differently. Number one, the fact that I have 38 years of actual selling experience. Not, well, you know, I've kind of been hanging out with salespeople for 38 years. No, I'm a one-man act with my sales training company. And the fact that I've actually survived 10 and a half years and actually thrived and had year-over-year growth, including last year during the shitstorm that we love to call a pandemic, I still grew the business last year. It says a lot, right? Because this is a brutal industry with way too many competitors. And we're selling to people that, for the most part, don't think they need sales training, right? Imagine that, right? Like, what a great selling model that is. And the other thing, like I said, is that I don't just talk about sales training. I'm there with you. And I'm very willing, as you've probably seen or listened to on this podcast, to not just tell you, okay, this is how I do it and I'm so great. I don't really do that. But I'm also willing to show you my scars and tell you how I got them. And most importantly, tell you how you could avoid them. I have no no shame when it comes to showing you the dumb mistakes that I've made and how you might be heading down that road. So there's no ego involved. But the other thing too is that I really don't follow the typical coaching model. The typical coaching model, I don't like it. And I'm not just saying the sales coaching model. I mean coaching in general. I don't agree with the model. And I've argued with scholars in this area for, you know, probably about 15 years now, going back to some of the people who wrote the content for Dale Carnegie. I remember arguing with some of them and people with PhDs and all that. I don't agree with the typical coaching model. Typical coaching model is that they ask you lots and lots of questions and try to lead you on a path of self-discovery. I think that's good. I think it's necessary. I think that any sales coach who isn't asking you questions, well, it's kind of like a doctor, right? In malpractice. I mean, you have to have that. But you can't have a relationship that every answer you give them or every problem that you present to your coach results in that person answering you with another question. By the time people have the courage to call me and say, Paul, I've been listening to you for a while, you know, I really could use your help, brother. They need answers. They don't want more questions. They have enough questions of their own. So the model that I follow is, yes, we'll definitely have some questions because I really need to know you and I need to know what you're up against and all. And yeah, I think it's important to kind of lead you to the answer, but I'm also going to give you the answer too. I think we could save a lot of time if, I show you some answers too. And part of the reason why you hire a coach is not only to avoid that whole thing I mentioned before, where you don't want to get better at doing something the wrong way. Not only that, not only the fact that now you have accountability and somebody who, you know, actually has balls is going to say, you know, call you out when you don't do shit that you're supposed to be doing. I just think that, you need someone who's going to be willing to, you know, provide you with some answers and guide you a bit. I just think that's really, really important. But anyway, if you'd like to learn more, I want to warn you about something. The program that I'm talking about right now is slightly different and slightly less expensive, only by like, I think about $300 or $400. Than the program that I've been talking about for the last few weeks on this podcast. So if you've gone to the link in the last 3 or 4 weeks that I've given, you know, in the month of like October and even like the first week in November, this is a little different, but I'm going to tell you that at the latest, January 1st, you will not have the lesser, you know, the less expensive option that I'm presenting right now. The option that I have right now that I'm going to make available to you is actually a few $100 lighter. So if you'd like to learn more, this is going to be a brilliant time for you not to procrastinate, because I promise you, come January 1st, the price is going to be higher, right? All my programs are going up January 1st. I've had the same pricing in place for years. I didn't think it was appropriate to do price increases when we were in year one of the pandemic. I really just didn't feel right about doing it. But we're going to be increasing the pricing on those other programs. So if you'd like to learn more, you like the idea of having a coach there so that you're not just getting better at doing something the wrong way, would you please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/coachpaul. yoursalesplaybook.com/coachpaul. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them.